book of Genesis, and we're at chapter 22. Commencing to read at verse 1, and watch the reading very carefully, and it will make the preaching easier. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and I don't like the word tempt, because in the original it's the word test, that God did test, because the book tells us that God tempteth no man. God did test Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. As we go on reading, you will find that God came in the middle of the night and said, Abraham. Big man is lying in the tent in the dark. And there's a voice comes out of the darkness and says, Abraham. But you know, he was in touch with the Lord, and he said immediately, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. God just didn't tell him everything that night. He just said, Take now thy son, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains that I will tell thee of. I'll tell you later about it. See how you get on first. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and that's how I knew it was night when he came, when God came. And you know, when God speaks to you, you mustn't dilly-dally about obeying the Lord. He rose early in the morning, saddled the ass. Can you see him doing it? Took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood. Didn't ask anybody else to do it. Clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up. And went on to the place. He's going towards Moriah. Doesn't know exactly where it is, where he's to offer the sacrifice. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place. And it's one thing to be told to go, and it's another thing to start out. And it's quite another thing to see the place, because sometimes when you see the place that God wants you to fill, and the sacrifice that he wants you to make, some turn back to you. Too much for them. But you'll find this. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off, and Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife. Here's a lovely touch, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto his father, unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together, and they came to the place. And it's one thing starting out for the place, and it's another thing seeing the place, and it's quite another thing coming to the place. Oh, he went right through with God. And Abraham built an altar there and made the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son, and Abraham called the name of that place. The issue starts for the place. When you see the place, when you come to the place, you'll find it's the place where God asks everything of you, the thing you hold most dear. But it's the place where God gives everything. Call the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said, to this day in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Great story. One of the greatest. There are some great stories. One of the great poets, great English poets, the man who wrote Land of Hope and Glory, he said the greatest story in the English language is the prodigal son. I'm differing with him a little bit. I think the greatest story that was ever written or told or heard is the story of the Lamb of God. Of course, I know the prodigal son is a great story, but remember Abraham offering up Isaac on Mount Moriah is also a great story, and I don't think we should underline one above another. I think the offering on Calvary is the greatest one. But this is certainly a great story. It's a great story because of this. You see, you can come to this story and you can preach the gospel clearly from it, and that's a great thing. You see, if you take Isaac out, just keep Isaac before you and don't look at anything else, and don't get off this line of thought. You see, the moment that Isaac leaves the tent, the moment he leaves his mother's side, he's condemned already. He's heading for the flames. Just like every other sinner that's born in this world. But he's not only condemned in his story. You know, the moment that he's separated out from the other boys, the two lads and the ass, carry ye here, and he's on his own, and he's climbing the hill now, and Abraham put the wood on his shoulders, and he's beginning to feel the burdens of life. He says, "Where's the lamb?" And it's great when a condemned sinner becomes a concerned sinner. Dear on saved friend out of the morning meeting, bless you. You're condemned already. You're a child of wrath, even as others. And you're near hell at this moment than you ever were before, but you're not concerned about it. Great when a sinner begins to say, "Where is the lamb?" Then Abraham lifted him, put him on the altar, put the ropes around him, and lifted the knife. Oh, he's convinced now. It's great when you're convinced that you're perishing. Oh, yes. Why, when the Philippian jailer came in and fell on the floor and said, "What must I do to be saved?" He's convinced. Would to God you unsaved ones were convinced that you're perishing. Yes, condemned, concerned, convinced, converted. Oh, yes, somebody took his place. It's a great story, isn't it? Preach the gospel from that story. The ram took his place. Wonder what Isaac was doing when the lamb went up in flames. Did he cry? Did he kneel? What was he doing? Was he praising the Lord? Was he praising the Lord? But you see, it's a great story from another angle. The from a spiritual angle as far as service is concerned. You know, you don't take Isaac, you take Abraham, just as the servant of the Lord. That's actually what he was. Just the servant of the Lord. And he cuddles himself up at night in the corner of the tent and closes his eyes. And in the middle of the night there comes a word. Abraham. The big man moves. Says, here am I. When the Lord spake, he heard. He had aspirations after service. He seemed to live like this. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Is that what you do? Father, you do as you like and ask the Lord to forgive you. What do you want me to do, Lord? And the moment that God spoke, he said, here am I. Yes. And you know, I don't want to waste time on the servant. There were aspirations after service. I like this little bit. There was humiliation for him before service. Before he really got into stride in the service. You know, I see him saddling the ass. Well, he was Abraham, you know. He'd got 120 servants at least. That's what I read in his book. He could have commanded any one of them to saddle the ass, but not this time. You know, I think we need to be prepared to do little things for God. Too much to ask you to be in the Sunday school. But you know, he didn't only saddle the ass, which I think is humiliating for him, but there was preparation for service. Not only aspirations, not only humiliation. Oh, there was preparation. He cleared the wood. Oh, I can remember the day when I cleared the wood. While other boys went and played cricket, and I'm not saying anything about it. Golf. Shut up in an old upstairs room with my nose in the book. Clearing the wood! That's what it says here. Study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. I was craving it. Oh, wonder some of you don't get on. You only get on at what you're at. You're a good tennis player and a good golfer, and the folks around you go to hell. Need to clave the wood a little bit. It's preparation for sir. And I think you're bound to see this, aren't you? That there was determination in service. This fellow started for the place and saw the place and came to the place. What does God want you to do? Have you made 5 or 6 attempts at it? Or do you go the way a lot of folks say, and I'll do it tomorrow, Lord? There's a terrible lot of folk going to serve the Lord tomorrow. If you know, we need to go through, don't we? I think you've got to stress this a little bit, that we not only need to have aspirations and humiliation and preparation and determination. We need to have separation. You say to the two lords in the house, you don't belong in this thing, get out. They can't bring the world into the Lord's service. Yet he brought the two lads up onto the mount. I'll tell you, they would have held them back. They said, you can't do this. You're not allowed to do this. The world doesn't understand this thing. Keep it outside. Oh, separations, really. Must be separated from the world. Don't get mixed up in it too much now, because I'll tell you, it'll keep you back. But you know, there's not only these aspirations, what do you want me to do? With this humiliation, I'm ready for anything. And this preparation, getting down to it. And this determination. And this separation. There must be consecration. You must put your all in the world. The Lord wants my hands, and He wants my feet, and He wants my eyes, and He wants my ears. He wants me. And so, you know, you can take the story from that angle, but I don't want to do that. Great old story. I think, you see, it's a great story because you can do it from an evangelical side and from this practical spiritual side. I believe that you can do it from a dispensational side, of course. See, I'm a premillennialist. Everybody in the world, and a lot of them in heaven, some of them in hell, know that. I'm a premillennialist all my days. And I think the Lord's coming soon. This land of ours and every other land would tell you too. That my one cry all the time is, even so come. And while I pray like that, I must work hard. I want the Lord to come, I'll have to work a bit harder. And I think, you know, this is very like the coming of the Lord, this story. You know, you can't see it yet, take your time. It's all right. You see, I can see Abraham, and you know, he's got his all on the altar. And he's separated from the world. And he's in a priestly attitude. He's about to drive the knife into the breast of this boy. When there's a shout from heaven! Oh, one of these days there's going to be a shout from heaven. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Wonder where you'll be when He comes. Up on the Mount of Worship, separated from the world, with your all on the altar, doing those things well pleasing to God in a priestly attitude, will you? Or will you be found like Lot in the gate of Sodom when He comes? Fancy getting caught in the gate of Sodom. Or will you be like Elijah standing in an old dark damp cave with neither light nor heat and your mantle around your face? And God will say, what doest thou here? He's stuck in some old modernistic church giving them your money. There, get out. The Lord's coming. You won't want to be caught there because that crowd will be left behind. Yes, what a moment it will be. When the shout comes and we see the Lamb in all His glory and wonder and beauty, we shall see Him as He is. Oh, I'm almost tempted to go on with that. Yeah. Great story, isn't it? It's not what I want to do. Not the evangelical side. Not this dispensational side. Not this spiritual side of the service. I want to talk to you about four necessities that will bring success. I want to talk to you about four necessities. You see, it's a mighty story. Because we find that the great effect of faith is here. You know, sometimes you let this story get into your mind and you think about it and you turn it over and you wonder why and how Abraham did it. And then Hebrews comes and says, by faith. By faith Abraham offered up. Because he just believed. He'd never seen this done. He believed that even if I drive a knife into him and burn him on this altar, that God will raise him from the dead.
And if you're going to be a success for God, you'll have to have this thought of faith. This is the faith, you know, that the world doesn't understand at all. And your fellow workers won't understand. Yes, you need this faith if you're going to be a success. We walk by faith. You remember the other Lord's Day morning I talked to you about the faith that Moses had. Because Moses endured by faith because he saw him who is invisible. Oh, this is what I call the secret of his success. Just keeping his eyes on the Lord. And I tell you again, and you policemen who are here this morning, bless you. Keep your eyes on the Lord. I tell you this, if you can just look full in his wonderful face, then the things of earth and the things of us. The light of his glory and greatness. Yes, I think we've got to see this, you know. You know, I think that this faith was challenged every step of the way by natural affection. I loved the boy. It was his only son, whom thou lovest. You know, he had a father's heart, and this was his son, and he's going up the mountain, and he's going to put him on the altar. And he believes that God will raise him from the dead. He's keeping talking to himself. Oh, but natural affection is really challenging this. And you will be challenged, you know. So many things come to challenge you. Yes, I believe the language of the lad even challenged it. You know, the lad looked at his dad's eyes and said, I see the fire and I see the knife, but where is the light? The big man closes his eyes and swallows hard, and his heart pounds within him. And answer this properly, can he? And he talks to him again. But God told me, I'm going on with it. It'll get challenged, you know. You'll have to have this sort of faith if you're going to be a success. And I think it's very obvious when you read the story that there is not only the fact of faith here, the obviousness of obedience is it. He obeyed. Just obey God. God said, take now thy time. Thine only son whom thou lovest. And get thee into the land of Moriah. And it's a long way. Right up from Beersheba they were coming. And up through that scraggy land. And the rocks and the mountains. It gets higher and steeper the whole way. But he's obeying God. Because I've always believed, I don't care what sort of brand of holiness you go in for, dear. I believe the simple answer is trust and obey. And I'll tell you there is no other way. Some of you talk to me, you know, about your holiness and your sanctification and your higher life, and you're not baptized yet, even. The great pity of you. You're only blubbering. You're not even living for God. You're just mugging around. Go and obey God and then come and talk to me. Don't talk to me about being holy when you're disobeying the word of God. How could you be? Well, yes, this is the way. You hear God talking to you, this is the way. Walk ye in it. And I think the fact of faith is here, and the obviousness of obedience is here. And I want to get this bit over to you very much this morning. The reality of reverence is here. I think we ought to forget this bit. You see, God said to him, God said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, for now I know that thou fearest God. Some of us shout far too much. And into your Christianity, don't be carrying this vulgarness. As it's God we work with. Just we have far too much of it at times. You know, the early church, when the two told lies in the presence of the Holy Ghost, Ananias and Sapphira, and God blotted them out. It says, great fear fell, and all the church, would to God we had them back. That wouldn't be so much just sort of vulgar pretense. Let's get the hold of it. This is not just a Baptist church or a building. Let's get this Christ clear. The Lord is here. And he is more important than the two pastors or any others that are here. Oh, you see. I believe this is how we should go about it. And I prayed in the prayer meeting this morning. Lord, we should take our shoes from our feet. I'm sure this is how you go about, you know, if you're going to be a success. There must be the fact of faith. And there must be the obvious obedience. There must be the reality of reverence. Oh, let's always remember the Lord. I think there's something else here, you know. And I think it stands out in every step, in every footprint. I wish I could see all the footprints from Beersheba through the rocks and right up. Because I think in every footprint it stands with love for the Lord. Nothing else to come up there. I should have put it first, but I put it last. I'm sure if we're going to be a success, I think we'll have to love the Lord above everything else. Just out of pure love for Him, we'll have to obey. And we'll have to do it in a way that we're not going to boast too much about it or shout or do anything. We'll have to be reverent about it. We'll have to trust Him every moment. No matter what happens, no matter what you lose, no matter what sacrificed, the trust. Here are four necessities if you're going to succeed. You'll need this fact of faith in your life. And you'll need this obvious obedience in your life. And you'll need this reality of reverence, sir. And you'll need this language of love. Let the folk know you love Him. God bless you.